This is Mae Brussel, KAZU-FM in Pacific Grove, California. It is side two of broadcast number 614, September the 12th, 1983. I'm going into some information on the Kennedy assassination and important basic books a person should really investigate and read if they want to understand the trauma and the deceptions that took place 20 years ago with the murder of John Kennedy. And then you can add to that thousands of murders, because if you study this one case well, all the others and the cover stories and their diaries and the lies and the special commissions all seem to fall into this format. The great coup was the United States coup in 1963, carefully planned by the intelligence community and then applied to all the other murders. Now, the next book that was important on the list that I included was a book, Farewell America. I mentioned that to you. The written by James Hepburn. That's the cover name for a group of people from the intelligence community. It was the first detailed book extensively to deal with organizations and individuals who wanted John Kennedy murdered, and the oil and the steel and the corporations. It took the murder away from certain evidence in the Dealey Plaza area to the international corporations, and we wondered, well, how did Permandex in Italy, that we were talking about a year ago tonight, be involved with the murder of John Kennedy? This goes into the international work. It is a compilation, as I said, of intelligence agents in Europe. Their inquiry led them to the murder of John Kennedy, and it is a documented book on how and why political assassinations take place. Basically, there is a market or a job interest or an investment in countries or investment in cocaine or heroin and the opium poppy, the mob money, the traffic of mob money. And a Democrat will kill a Democrat, or a Republican will kill a Republican, or an FBI agent will kill an FBI agent, whether it's J. Edgar Hoover or William Sullivan, to keep the lid, whether it's the profits from drug traffic or multinational corporate profits. The game is really profits of corporate level, banking level, and narcotics. And those people that get in the way of this bloody pattern are off. It doesn't matter who they are. Now, there's a lot of passion behind this book, Farewell America. They were dedicated to this. They wrote in 1968 that if the youth and young people of America didn't read this and didn't take it seriously, they'd be in deep trouble. Well, the youth and the people didn't take it seriously, and they are in deep trouble. But along with the facts and the names and the dates of the international corporations, they have the motive based on dollars and profits, as I said, and that is their big concern. There's a fear that freedom in America will decline and it will be sold out for money, and their fear is, in fact, coming true. The next book on the list that I mentioned is Who's Who in the CIA. And this took the assassination research level into a different place, into agents such as like the Claus Barbie, but he isn't in the book, he's just too obvious. The agents of the Eastern Europe, of Europe, of the Russians, the Germans, the Hungarians, the anti-communists, and the Americans, and American politicians, whether it's Eugene McCarthy, the American politicians are in the Who's Who in the CIA, a whole bunch of them. But this Mr. Mader, who wrote the book, has a very good account of people born in different countries. He has their birth dates, France, Germany, preponderance of Germans, who began to work for the CIA. And when the document addendum came out, it identified a man in the Pentagon when Earl Warren and the commission was asking as early as December or January who would write the Warren report. The minutes of the meeting said Dr. Rudolph August Wineker, W-I-N-N-A-C-K-E-R, would write the Warren report. When you look up in the Who's Who in the CIA, there is Mr. Wineker with an autobiographical or biographical sketch, born in Germany, and from 1949 to 1965 was chief of the historical division of the Pentagon, probably brought here by Fritz Kramer and Henry Kissinger, right out of Oberammergau or who knows where. Nobody's ever done any research. I've talked about this guy for I don't know how many years since the document addendum came out and Who's Who in the CIA, but nobody has bothered to follow this through to any extent. The important thing is that it mentions two agents in the Soviet Union, Mr. McVicker and Mr. Snyder, that worked with Marina Oswald and Lee Oswald in the embassy in Soviet Union, and it mentions people in the Dallas-Fort Worth area that worked with Lee and Marina Oswald in the Central Intelligence Agency there. So it was written in Germany, but it identifies the American embassy in the Soviet Union and the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And most of the key people that I had already identified as being agents with Lee and Marina Oswald, because from 1964, September 64, up through this time period of 68, I was cross-filing all that stuff from the Warren Commission hearings. It's not indexed. The hearings and the exhibit are not indexed. Rewriting it as a spy novel on how people met the safe houses, where they got their money, and how their business transacted. And all the characters that I put as part of this great spy story were identified in the book Who's Who in the CIA, coming out of both David Lifton's minutes of his meetings and out of Germany. It was published in Germany. Now, the Torbit document I've spoken about many times, and a good portion of the listeners who subscribe regularly to the tapes have this. Nomenclature of an Assassination Cabal. It was written by an attorney in Texas. It was given to me from Penn Jones, and this attorney and Bill Boxley helped. Bill Boxley was in the CIA. I met him in New Orleans when I went to help Jim Garrison there, or thought I could help him. Boxley has passed away. He helped with this. This, again, like Farewell America, was written from the gut level of Texas, of people that knew Lyndon Johnson, knew the CIA, knew organized crime, knew Permandex. The Nomenclature of an Assassination Cabal is not a book for anyone who believes in the Tooth Fairy or Santa Claus or the Easter Bunny. It's a story of real communities and real people, and the daring can read it. It is about the killing of the president and the networks involving people like Roy Cohn, who's now with Western Goals and the Los Angeles Police Department, sharing those files, and with Larry McDonald with Western Goals and Roy Cohn. He's in there through his corporation and General Dynamics. The chief of security of General Dynamics was a close friend of Lee and Marina Oswald's in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. The Clarks were. Gally Clark was a Russian czarist from the Sherbatov family, Sherbatov. That's similar to the Rockefellers in this country. The links of the Defense Department, the contracts with the Defense Department, of the mob, the organized crime relationship to the Defense Department. This book is about white Russian czarists that came over to this country and started to work with the FBI and the CIA to make war and avenge the Soviet Union and get their country back. It's about the organized crime syndicate connections of Jack Ruby and the Mafia. It's about Division 5 of the FBI with William Sullivan, who was murdered just at the time of the House Select Committee investigations. It's about the Defense Department, how the Defense Department gets contracts to guard their missile bases. And it's about NASA and the German scientists brought here after World War II. It's a very good book. It research mostly done in France, published in Canada. All of these books, incidentally, are available. Now, the last book that I put on the list, but I do want to put in this list of books to read, the Paris Lamone book, but at the time I couldn't put it on the list, is The Assassination of JFK, the one by Bernard Fensterwald, Coincidence or Conspiracy. Now, this isn't a multinational nomenclature, the Torbit document. It also goes by the name of the Torbit document, William Torbit. That's the assumed name. The Torbit document and Farewell America are international in their business and their motives, and they name names. But Fensterwald gets into the crime syndicate, and it's a very important book because it has a biographical section on persons involved in some way with the Kennedy assassination or the investigation or the cover-up, and it's got their pictures. It's nice to see people, see their faces, and to document this kind of work, and that's why I think it's a very valuable book. And some of the people described and photographed were members of the original Warren Commission and their legal staff that he has in this book. Some are from the CIA, the FBI, the Defense Department. Many are from organized crime. Robert Mayhew worked with both the FBI and CIA, the Howard Hughes Organization, the Mafia. He worked with Sam Giancana and John Rosselli and the Mafia hit teams. It's a bedside book. You can read little chapters at a time. You can refer to it when you're reading. Penn Jones, the victims, many listed in Forget My Grief, are described in detail, telling why they had to be killed. So that all of these books that I've mentioned to you have not had, they don't stand alone. They interrelate to each other, which they should do, so that Penn's material on the victims are also in Fensterwald's books. Fensterwald's an attorney for the CIA. He's now representing Marianne Paisley. He represented James McCord at the time of the Senate hearings, the Watergate hearings. He's had a long association with CIA, with Carlos Marcello, the crime figures, and congressional investigations. But that doesn't mean it's a bad book. It's like I said about New Solidarity. Some of their conclusions are rotten, but some of the figures and dates of where people met and who they knew are important. So that the personalities have nothing to do with the value of the books that I selected. I'm not prejudiced in that way to leave a name out because I don't like or trust that particular person. The facts are that these books are very valuable and they're available, and I've selected them as important for the reasons that I said to you. Oswald, Assassin, or Fall Guy brings out the use of decoys, the way you create patsies, the way you murder them to make the conspiracy hold, and also the intense knowledge of the similarities to fascist Europe that Joseph brought with him. Rush to Judgment is on the mechanics of killing. The weapon or the weapons, the directions, the ballistics, the location of the people who shot as against the conclusion of the single person in the six-story window, the direct witnesses on the scene of the crime that are not used, and it's a very important book because it is the scene of the crime. Forgive My Grief enlarges how people are shot. It takes away from the lone assassin conclusion. Penn Jones goes away from the argument about that, but simply details how many people are killed, in what way they're killed, in order that that lone assassin conclusion is still dangling after 20 years. And the document addendum exposes forever their own words and the way they work. Farewell America opens the door to the motives. I always am asked, well, who would want Kennedy killed? Who would think about it? And you go into the problems with the steel, with sending General Walker into a mental hospital and starting the civil rights movement, giving the blacks education and the nuclear test ban treaty, or the intent to pull back from Vietnam, which would hurt the mafia because that's where we got our tentacles in the drug trade, or the rapprochement with Khrushchev and getting along with him and Pope John the 23rd. The three of them were very close and wanted peace, or pulling back from the Bay of Pigs. That was just the final coup de grace. That was it for poor old Kennedy, you know, pulling back at that time. Who's Who in the CIA shows the use of the Germans in the intelligence community. It shows the people that were, in fact, working with Lee and Marina Oswald in the Dallas-Fort Worth area in the Soviet Union. And Fensterwald's book goes into the crime syndicate, which is the part that makes the Nazi or the Vatican connections, or the conspirators, or the Permandex work. The mafia, the growing of the opium, the poppy, is very lucrative, in case you haven't heard that one yet. And that is what keeps the armbands and the swastikas and the death squads and the paramilitary going. And in conclusion, the Paris Lamone's Kennedy conspiracy does go into the area of, similar to the Torbett document, of the Italian connections, the worldwide connections. It's a very, very good book, and I really should put it on the list once and for all and say that there are 9 or 10 really good books. If you want to study Who Killed the President of the United States, you can read all 9 of those books. And if you read all 9 of those books, then you'll know who's shooting Mr. Aquino or killing anybody else, because it's all there. And after a few years have passed, like 20 years, it'll be easier for you to read these 9 books and compare them to what's happening now and realize that many of us were just in divergent territory. We were doing our own work. Nobody was doing it for us. There were private investigators. There were 8 or 9 in the country, and I was one of them, who just sat down and wanted to know why the government was lying and find out the way they lie. Now, in the conclusion of this broadcast for 15 minutes or so, I want to read to you, and I don't believe I've ever had this on the program. This is from the CIA documents from Freedom of Information Act that were released September 1976. This is document number 1035-960. If you want to send for it, to the United States government, CIA document regarding their plan of attack on the Warren Commission critics. And this is the way it begins. It has a lot of parts. I'll read it fast. I don't usually read verbatim, but I can't transcribe or paraphrase the way the government writes, because their mindset is so interesting that you really should hear what they have to say. Number one, under psychology, our concern. From the day of President Kennedy's assassination on, there has been speculation about the responsibility for his murder. Although this was stemmed For a time, by the Warren Commission report, which appeared at the end of September, various writers have now come and tried to scan the commission's published report and documents for new pretexts for questioning, and there's been a new wave of books and articles. They said, having stemmed the tide, there are new people trying to scan the published reports and criticizing the commission findings. In most cases, the critics have speculated as to the existence of some kind of a conspiracy, and often they imply that the commission itself was involved, not John McCloy or, oh my goodness, Gerald Ford. No, I shouldn't. Okay, let's get back to what they say. Presumably, as a result of the increasing challenge to the Warren Commission's report, a public opinion poll recently indicated that 46% of the American people did not think that Oswald acted alone. This is 1976. And more than half of these thought the commission left some questions unresolved. Doubtless polls abroad would show similar or more adverse results. Abroad, they were smarter and faster than us. Now, point two. This trend of opinion is a matter of concern to the U.S. government, including our organization, the CIA. The members of the Warren Commission were naturally chosen for their integrity, their experience, and prominence. John McCloy, okay. They represented both the major parties, and they and their staff were deliberately drawn from all sections of the country. Just because of the standing of the commission, efforts to impugn their rectitude and wisdom tend to cast doubt on the whole leadership of American society. Can you imagine if you questioned Leon Jaworski, Gerald Ford? I'm not talking about Richard Russell from Georgia or Hale Boggs from Louisiana or Mr. Cooper, a crony of Lyndon Johnson's from Kentucky. I'm just talking about the ones that are alive and kicking ass right now and doing a lot of trouble. It says their standing of the commission would impugn the rectitude and wisdom and tend to cast doubt on the whole leadership of American society. Everybody has to be bad if you don't like the Warren Commission. Moreover, there seems to be an increasing tendency to hint that President Johnson himself, as the one person who might be said to have benefited, was some way responsible for the assassination. Innuendo of such seriousness affects not only the individual concerned, that's LBJ, but also the whole reputation of the American government. You see, the CIA thinks if you question Lyndon Johnson, you question the whole government, 200 million people, if you don't like LBJ. It goes on, our organization itself is directly involved. This is the CIA. Among other facts, we contributed information to the investigation. Conspiracy theories have frequently thrown suspicion on our CIA. For example, by falsely alleging that Oswald worked for us, Lee Harvey Oswald. The aim of this dispatch is to provide material for countering and discrediting the claims. The aim of this dispatch, this is the CIA memo under psychology, September 76, is to discount, discredit, and counter claims of the conspiracy theorists so as to inhibit the circulation of such claims in other countries. We've got to stop them. Background information is supplied in a classified selection on a number of unclassified actions. Point three, actions. We do not recommend the discussion of the assassination questions be initiated where it is not already taking place. But where the discussion is active, however, the addresses are requested to discuss this, the publicity with these people and friendly elite contacts. We will have a liaison with friendly elite contacts, politicians and editorial writers of the newspapers, CIA, and point to them that the Warren Commission was as thorough an investigation as humanly possible and that the charges of these people have no serious foundation and that further speculation discussion only plays into the hands of the opposition. Now you become you're helping the communists if you question the Warren Report. Point out also that parts of the conspiracy talk appear to be deliberately generated by communist propagandists. This is what they tried in Philippines, Marcos, to say the communists were behind the shooting of Aquino. Okay. Urge them, these newspaper people and politicians, to use their influence to discourage unfounded and irresponsible speculation. Another point under this, to employ propaganda assets, this is the newspaper media, to answer and refute the attacks of the critics Use book reviews and feature articles. Those are particularly appropriate for this purpose. The unclassified attachment to the guidance should provide useful background material to our assets, our ACI, that's their CIA agents. Our play should point out, they use the word play, our play should point out as applicable that the critics are, one, wedded to theories adopted before the evidence was in, that, two, they're politically interested, three, they're financially interested, you have to make a gain or a profit off of it, four, that they are hasty and inaccurate in their research, or five, they're infatuated with their own theories. If you question the Warren Report, you're infatuated with your own theories, and the CIA was to use book reviews and articles to point this out. In the course of discussion of the whole phenomena of criticism, a useful strategy be to single out Epstein's theory for attack, that was Edward Epstein, using the attached Fletcher Nebel article and Spectator piece for background. Fletcher Nebel wrote 7 days in May. Although Mark Lane's book is much less convincing than Epstein's and comes off badly where contested by knowledgeable critics, it is also more difficult to answer as a whole, as one becomes lost in a morass of unrelated details. This is so brilliant. I think next week or each week I should continue with this. I'll do more on this right now, but imagine the logic of this. Use Edward Epstein's book to attack, because Mark Lane is less convincing and he seems more knowledgeable, and it'd be too difficult. They can't understand what he's saying, and they can't answer it as a whole. You get lost in unrelated details. Every point of Rush to Judgment had a related detail, whether you like Lane or not. Point four, in private or in media discussions not directed at any particular writer or in attacking publications which may be forthcoming, the following arguments should be useful. Now, this is for the CIA to use in forthcoming discussions where you don't want to get one person, but and you're going to attack the publications. This, they have a list of things that you should use and ways you should argue. They have 6 points on what you should do. A, this is what you say about these books. One, no new evidence has emerged with which the commission didn't consider. You know, it would be interesting to go back over the old book reviews, and I've saved all these articles in chronological order and just check off the obedient writers who later were linked through the Senator Church Committee to the CIA. There were 400 writers, but they didn't identify all of them. But getting back to this point, in private or in media discussion with writers not directed at any in particular, these are the suggestions. I want to repeat that. A, no significant evidence has emerged with which the commission didn't consider. I'm sure you've read that before, and you read book reviews that are negative now. The assassination is sometimes compared, for example, by Joachim Joosten, the one I mentioned before, the Oswald von Fall guy, and Bertrand Russell, with the Dreyfus case in France. That's where a Jewish person was charged with conspiracy against the army and went to Devil's Island and then later was cleared. However, unlike that case, the attack on the Warren Commission, had produced no new evidence, no new culprits. They've been convincingly identified, none of them been identified, and there's no agreement among the critics. A better parallel, though an imperfect one, might be with the Reichstag fire of Germany of 1933, of which some competent historians like Mr. Tobias or Taylor believe the fire was set by Van, V-A-N, small D-E-R, L, capital L-U-B-B-E, on his own initiative without acting for Nazis or communists. The Nazis tried to pin the blame on the communists, but the latter have been much more successful in telling the world that the Nazis were to blame. So it says, ignore some of the evidence and transfer it over to some of these situations where there are no agreements. One says it's Nazis, one says it's communists, one it's on its own, and leave it open. Point B, critics usually overvalue particular items and ignore others. They tend to put more emphasis on recollection of individual eyewitnesses to the event, which are less reliable and more divergent, and more handholds for criticism, and less on the ballistic, autopsy, and photographic evidence. A close examination of the commission's records will show that conflicting eyewitness accounts are quoted out of context, and were discarded by the commission for good and sufficient reasons. Well, in time, that argument didn't hold up because the real serious work was into the ballistic, into the autopsy, into the photographic evidence, and it was because those things were so far off that the witness testimony became important because of the discrepancies in the autopsy, in the ownership of the rifle, in whether the rifle could shoot, whether Oswald even had shells, where it was located, whether he brought in the building. In trying to check out the physical evidence, whether he went down the stairs or was in the dining room having his Coca-Cola, all the discrepancies in the physical evidence with no palm prints on the rifle and no fingerprints then caused researchers to go to the witnesses because the physical evidence was off the wall. But they've got this all turned around. Point C. Conspiracy on the large scale often suggested would be impossible to conceal the United States, especially since informants could expect to receive large royalties. Note that Robert Kennedy, Attorney General at the time, and John Kennedy's brother would be the last man to overlook or conceal any conspiracy, which is a lie because he was blackmailed with his photographic tapes and with Marilyn Monroe and all the various women. And long before he was the official attorney general, they had him compromised along the way, but particularly in that office. It's a note Robert Kennedy, with his role, would be the last to overlook it. And as one reviewer pointed out, Congressman Gerald Ford would hardly have held his tongue for the sake of the Democratic administration. Gerald Ford would hardly hold his tongue. Hasn't it been proven that he held his tongue when he became president of the United States and hushed up about Richard Nixon's crimes? Then it said Senator Russell would have every political interest to expose the misdeeds on the part of Chief Justice Earl Warren. Senator Russell was the man who said, "I don't ask what I can do for my country, but what my country can do for Georgia." And out of Atlanta, Georgia, and DeKalb County and Mitchell Ward Bell and the home country of Larry McDonald and the various assassination teams, the Network of Murder Incorporated, Georgia has been a large stronghold of Lockheed, of military bases, of counterintelligence. Russell would be the last person to blow open all these people, the crime syndicate, the mafia in Georgia, the military, the CIA, and he was the watchdog in Congress for the CIA, so of course he would shut up. Then their logic goes on. A conspirator, moreover, would hardly choose a location for shooting where so much depended on conditions beyond his control. The route, the speed of cars, the moving target, the risk of the assassin would be discovered. A group of wealthy conspirators could have arranged a much more secure conditions. No, it worked better to have Kennedy shot right in the open and everyone flies away and leaves town. And William Seymour and Lauren Hall, Eugene Brading, none of those people were ever taken seriously. The people involved have been identified. The locations of the shots have been identified. The logic of the CIA in covering this up is totally off the wall. Point D, critics have often been enticed by a form of intellectual pride. They light on some theory and they fall in love with it. Do you think that's different than what the CIA agent does who writes his paper? Doesn't he have some kind of a pride that he falls in love with? It's that they scoff at the commission because it did not answer every question with a flat decision. Actually, the makeup of the commission and its staff was an excellent safeguard against government overcommitment to any one theory or against the illegal transformation of probability into certainties. And, of course, the commission was filled with probabilities. The next point, D. Oswald would not have been any sensible person's choice for a conspirator. He was a loner. He was mixed up, of questionable reliability, an unknown quantity to any professional intelligence service. He was at Subic Base in the Philippines, at Sugi in Japan, working with the U-2. His officer said he memorized the Marine manuals and all the defense for the United States. He was with Mr. McVicker of the CIA and Mr. Snyder at the embassy, the Soviet embassy in the CIA in Priscilla Johnson. He had memorized the Russian language when he brought this woman, Minsk, from the radio factory where he met Mr. Zeiger from Argentina, Alexander Zeiger. He was with admirals, generals, George de Morenschild, working and paid at one time by Nelson Rockefeller, the CIA, the Defense Department. Every single person Lee Harvey Oswald knows was the intelligence in the intelligence community. But this particular broadcast isn't about Oswald's contacts. It's about the mentality of the CIA in writing this kind of memo. F, as to the charges that the commission's report was a rush job, It emerged 3 months after the deadline originally set. This is the CIA saying, but to that degree that the commission tried to speed it up, this was due to the pressure of irresponsible speculation already appearing. They had too much speculation around that slowed them down for the job that they really had to do. Isn't that cute? Well, the time is running out, so I can't do more on this. I'll try and do more next week for you, or maybe a little bit each week, on how the CIA handled the authors. We didn't have time to go into both the books and the CIA documents, so I'll continue with that and get back to some of that, because it's very basic to the way those people think and the way they cover up. Not only how they murder, but how they cover up. In the meantime, this is Mae Brussel at KAZU FM in Pacific Grove. You take care of yourself, and I'll be back next week.